This week, I read an article in which a study found that anticipating temptation decreased the likelihood of a person engaging in poor behavior. So in this study, groups of business students were given a chance to write about a topic before they engaged in a task where they would be tempted to do something wrong. Half of them were prompted to write about a time they were tempted to bend the rules, and the rest were given an arbitrary topic. They did three different experiments using this same writing technique before putting them in a tempting scenario. What they found was that students who both thought about temptation and reflected on their lives were much more likely to be honest in their dealings. So the conclusion was that thinking ahead served to prepare people for temptation and make them more honest, provided that it was combined with thinking about moral integrity. So in light of this, I wonder if you can think of a time when you were dishonest. Maybe it was when you were a child. Maybe it was this past week. Were there consequences for your dishonesty? The consequences could have been external. You lost the trust of a friend or a coworker. Or the consequences could have been internal. No one caught your dishonesty, but the Holy Spirit used your conscience to remind you that what you had done was not right. Even more seriously, you may have learned to ignore the Spirit completely and excuse your behavior. Well, after reading this study, and thinking about the fear of God that we talked about last week, I wondered if part of the purpose of the Proverbs wasn't to help us think about our actions so that we would be ready for temptation and we would be less likely to fall into temptation and sin. What is honesty? Honesty is more than just truth. It is sticking to your belief system no matter what. It is saying the hard things when needed. It is treating others with dignity, respect, and fairness. It is showing integrity in our everyday life by incorporating biblical principles into all that we do and say. We are living in a time that some call the post-truth era. This refers to a cultural and political climate where objective facts are less influential than appeals to emotion and personal belief. In other words, I can believe whatever I want and act how I want as long as I believe it's the right thing for me to do. But there are many problems with this viewpoint. Not the least of which is it is very focused on me. It is a selfish perspective where my comfort and desires matter more than others. Proverbs 14, verse 12 describes it this way. There is a way that seems right to a person, but in the end, it is the way to death. This has opened the way to the prevalence of ideas such as alternative facts, fake news, and misinformation. As Christians, we base our belief system and actions on the Word of God. The Scriptures should provide our main point of reference for what we should or should not do or say. Honesty for a Christian is living a life guided by the Word of God. There are a few main themes included in the Proverbs around honesty. There are several verses about false balances, as I showed earlier, being a false witness, and stealing. So we're going to take some time to look at each of these. First, false balances. Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but an accurate weight is his delight." This saying is repeated four times in Proverbs, which leads me to believe this was a common problem. According to the Proverbs, God keeps an eye on the accurate measurement of goods. In 16, verse 11, he says, "Honest balances and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work." Our Lord expects us to be honest in our business dealings. This verse clearly states that God's way is fair and does not take advantage of people by cheating them on what they are owed. Now, I wonder how this fits into our modern lives. I doubt any of us use balance scales when we're selling or purchasing something. However, when someone comes to us, they should get what they paid for. In my life, someone who buys bales from us should expect good quality hay and a fair price for the weight of the bale. Part of our honesty journey has been learning about what to and what not to do to create good quality bales. We also bought a scale so that we weren't just guesstimating how much the bales weighed, but we could prove how much it was. And one year, we found out later that our quality was not okay. It looked okay when it left our property, but our customers said that half of it was ruined when they went to use it. And that led to losing the trust of those affected customers. In our lives, are we being honest about the amount and the quality of the work that we have completed, or the worth of an object we are selling? Where in your life do you need to ensure that people are getting what they are promised? Maybe you sell things online. Are you being fair with how you price things? In 20 verse 14, it says, "Bad, bad," says the buyer, then goes away and boasts. I don't know if any of you have been part of bartering. Often in other countries, they barter. And you kind of feel like that when you walk away, like, I don't know, did I get ripped off? Likely. A second theme is about false witnesses. We read in 6 verse 19 that one of the things that God hates is a lying witness who testifies falsely. The language here refers to a court of law where you are asked to make a statement. Now, I've never had to go to court. I've seen lots of courtroom scenes on TV, and I was kind of curious if that was really what it was said, so I looked up online. I didn't go to a courthouse. But online, it seemed to say that what I see on TV is mostly true anyways. You put your hand on a Bible, or if you don't want to do that, you can just swear an oath and repeat saying, "I swear or affirm that the evidence I give to the court touching the matters in question between the parties shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." With regards to a court case, 14 verse 25 may be strikingly true. A truthful witness saves lives, but one who utters lies is a betrayer. If you think of being a witness in a murder trial, depending on where the person lives, your words could cause the person to lose their freedom, their family, and even their life in places where the death penalty is in place. Our words about others are very powerful. Most of the time, stakes are not as high as the death penalty. But what about a person's reputation? Everything we say about another person leaves a mark on someone's memory. That is why gossip is so damaging. Once you have said something to someone, you can't take those words back. Speaking words in anger or frustration can damage how another person is perceived. Are the words we speak about others true? 100% true, not exaggerated to make us look better and them worse? It's worth taking time to consider where in our lives we give a testimony about another person. How do we speak when talking to friends about our family or another friend? Are we honest about our role when discussing our frustration with people at work or our bosses? Do we remember that God loves each of these people more than we do? James 3 from the Message explains more. "By our speech we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell." Our words have power and consequences, So we must be honest in our relationships. We must not lie about others. The Proverbs go on to highlight that if we do not care enough about others to be an honest witness, then maybe we should at least care about ourselves. Twice in chapter 19, we are warned, a false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will not escape. If we lie, the truth will come out eventually. Maybe not immediately, possibly not even in this life. However, in our Lord's eyes, our actions are not hidden. And one day we will have to stand before him and give an account of all that we've done. Will the fear of God on that day help keep us accountable for what we say about others? Another honesty theme is stealing. Now there's some empathy shown in 6, verse 30 and 31 for thieves. It says, thieves are not despised who steal only to satisfy their appetite when they are hungry. Yet, if they are caught, they will pay sevenfold. They will forfeit all the goods of their house. In other words, we may understand that this person believed they had to steal in order to eat, or they would starve. But the punishment for stealing is the same, whether you stole because you had to or not. And while the law may condemn a person, there is a call throughout the Proverbs and the Bible for the rest of us to help the poor and needy so that they are not put in the position where they're tempted to steal. We also are reminded in 10 verse 2 that ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. I remember one year at Agribition, my kids and I sat down to watch an auction, and one of the kids looked under his seat and noticed a bunch of cash lying there, and he was so excited. There was $65 sitting underneath of his seat, and I made him go to the people who were there and ask if anybody had turned, you know, had said that they'd lost any money. Now, it was just cash. There was no wallet. There was nothing there. And the people kind of, they were little and cute, so the people just said, there's no way for us to tell. You can take the money. But there was something freeing about them checking, about them not just taking the money, hiding it in their pocket, and going and spending it. Instead, by checking that the money hadn't been, somebody hadn't just dropped it, you know, nobody right around us had dropped it, nobody had said that they had lost it, they could now go away without the guilt of feeling like they had stolen that money. And they could go and purchase their mini donuts and a flashing sword. Another example of stealing in our time is to use other people's words or intellectual property. We need to be careful to give credit when we quote somebody. We don't want to make it seem like we are smart and have come up with something ourselves. Also, in the world of AI, how can we be honest? I could easily use AI to write a much better sermon than I'm giving right now. Likely, I would get away with it because most of you would not check online. Now, this is a big problem in schools. My sister-in-law is a professor at a college in Ontario, and she is constantly getting things turned in that were obviously written by AI. The problem is when they get to the final exam and they have to write by hand their answers, all of a sudden their skill at writing does not match what they've done on their assignments. There also are programs that assignments can be run through to look and see if they've stolen someone else's words. For me, writing my sermon with my own words is important because if I don't do the work myself of reading the Bible, researching what the verses mean, and thinking about how it applies to me personally, I'm not being honest. If I'm not convicted of times when I have done wrong or have been tempted to do wrong every single time that I preach, I have not allowed God's word into my heart. I have not allowed the Spirit to speak into my life and transform me to look more like Jesus. Similarly, a student who uses AI to write their paper does not learn how to do research and put their information into cohesive thoughts, and it will not help them to succeed in a future career. There is a particular proverb about not stealing from our parents. In 28 verse 24, it says, "Anyone who robs father or mother and says, 'That is no crime,' is partner to a thug." I read a post on Reddit about a 27-year-old young man who was confessing that he had frequently stolen from his parents during his teen years. He would take money from their purses or wallets when he couldn't afford what he wanted or desired. Now, as a young adult, he was feeling really bad for doing this. He had moved back in with his parents, and now, each time he got a paycheck, he would hide $20 bills around the house, sneaking it into their wallet or their coat pockets or behind a visor in their car. And he said he would keep doing this as long as he lived there to try and make up for what he did. Now, it was interesting. I don't know if you know about Reddit, but people can comment on what you've put there. And there were several people that said he should confess to his parents, not just keep hiding it around, but actually confess to them what he did. And this man was pretty sure he knew that his parents did know that he'd stolen the money, but they had never confronted him about it. And I don't know what happened in the end, but he said he was going to talk to them about it. This story reminds us that it is important to confess when we have been dishonest and to make amends where possible. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "No one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but one who confesses and forsakes will obtain mercy." Relationships can be restored with others and with God when we confess what we have done wrong and choose to do the right thing. Think of the example of Zacchaeus. He confessed to God, to Jesus, that he had been dishonest as a tax collector. He had stolen from people. And after meeting Jesus, he made a choice to give half of his possessions to the poor and repay anyone he had defrauded four times what he stole. We talk a lot about confession in this church. It is part of every service, included in each prayer time. And that is because we know that we all mess up. We all miss the mark in our lives, and that includes the area of being honest. Earlier in the service, we sang, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear, eyes, what you see, tongue, what you say, and mind, what you think." What we do matters. It matters to our own personal well-being, it matters to our relationships with others, and it matters to God. Let's be honest about our dishonesty. Let's confess it to each other so that we can help hold each other accountable, and confess it to God so that we can be forgiven. Amen.